You know, we so appreciate all of the interns from the art school who are here in finals week and really giving some great assistance to our worship, as well as Connie. When Connie just starts the service, you know, the prelude, it don't get no better. Okay, I want you to take you back just a few days to Thanksgiving. Remember Thanksgiving morning? Remember how it was snowing during that time? And in fact, it was snowing and it was predicted to snow so much that the folks that Trish and I had invited for Thanksgiving meal had said, you know what, we better stay home during this storm. So, unexpectedly, for the first time in our married lives, it was just going to be Trish and I, just the two of us. So we thought, okay, well, let's wait till after lunch and then we'll begin the Thanksgiving dinner preparations. And so we're sitting in front of our wood stove, just kind of reading and warming ourselves before lunch, when there's an unexpected knock at the door. And I go to the door, open it, and I see two people that I've never seen before in my life. They are Dustin and Sydney, okay? And they tell us, hey, we were staying right across the street at an Airbnb, and we tried to get out of here, but was only successful in sliding and having our car stuck, blocking your driveway. Now, we're from San Diego. We've never seen the snow actually fall from the sky. We've seen it on the ground some, but we've called a tow truck, and there's no tow truck that will come anywhere near Pinay Covey in the middle of a snowstorm. So, we need to know, what should we do? This is an unfamiliar situation and setting for us. So, what should we do? I said, well, first of all, you need to come in out of the cold. Now, that was before I knew that they had a cat. And the cat was in the car, okay? So I said, come in, thaw yourself out by the fire, and then after you're warmed up a little bit, Dustin, you and I will go and we'll check out your car situation. And all the while, it just continues to snow. And so we go out and we check out his car, and it's a Jeep, but it's a two-wheel drive and no chains, bald tires, you know, the whole deal. And so I know there is no way they're actually getting out of the fine residence in which we live. So I thought, okay, why don't we just try and negotiate your car into a more safe place into our driveway? And he goes, I can't do that. I said, well, hey, let me have you feel really good about the person's house in which you got stuck. I was stuck just last week, but I'm better at getting stuck than you are because I got stuck on Dead Man's Curve. You're only blocking one driveway. I was blocking all kinds of traffic. So, you know, just trying to, you know, make him feel a little better. So I get in his car, I get it unstuck, and I just drive it right down into our driveway. All the while, the snow continues to fall and pile up. And I look at Dustin and I say, Dustin, I think you all are stuck here, which means in a few moments you get to help fix Thanksgiving meal because you guys are going to eat with us. And in fact, why don't you just bring in the luggage and all that stuff and we have fine accommodations downstairs, okay? Thus begins the 2.5 days unexpected adventure with total strangers and their cat. Okay, so at the end of 2.5 days, and believe me, there was a lot of adventure to this. I'm leaving so much out of the story. But at the end of 2.5 days, I thought, you know what, let's just try to get the Polaris that had a little snow blade on the front. Let's try to get it into town, try to get you some chains, and if we put chains on, then you'll be on your way. Well, not only did we get chains, but I said, why don't you put your Jeep on the lift, and we'll just raise it so that we don't have to inconvenience ourselves any by putting the chains on. We got those chains on, and it was like they drove out with no problem at all. The reason I tell that story is that for 2.5 days, the Holy Spirit during the whole time was whispering to me and saying, this is not an accident at all. I am sovereignly orchestrating everything that's happening in your life right now in real time. Every detail. This couple could have gone to your neighbor and would have been a totally different experience, let me tell you. So I'm giving you, in part, Bob, a real time experience of what I'm going to ask that you would tell my people regarding my coming into this world, my Christmas story. Because you read the Christmas story, there was adventure, yes, but it was all unexpected and it was unfamiliar. And there was a lot of uneasiness in all of it. I mean, think about it. Unexpected, unfamiliar, and uneasy is stamped all over the Christmas story. From Mary and Joseph, you want to talk about unexpected, uneasy, unfamiliar, and then the shepherds. I mean, they're calmly just kind of warming themselves by a fire, and all of a sudden there's an angelic choir telling them of cosmic news. That was unexpected, unfamiliar. They weren't used to that. And you want to talk about uneasy? That wasn't on their resume to say, yeah, we're used to hearing an angelic choir. And then there's the Magi and Herod. Again, unexpected, unfamiliar, uneasy. But God is sovereign over the entire affair. God is sovereign over every detail of the Christmas drama, including the place. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. God's sovereignty over the place. Now, one of the major rules determining whether a business will either be successful or not, it's location, location, location. And periodically you'll hear news of several cities that are lobbying to be the location for, say, the next Super Bowl or the next Olympics or the next big event, and they'll spend millions of dollars trying to be the location for that big event. Well, what if various cities in ancient world lobbied God to be the place of the birthplace of the Messiah? What if ancient Jerusalem, ancient Rome, ancient Athens or Alexandria all lobbied to be the place where this once in a cosmic event to happen? God could have chosen anywhere, but he chose Bethlehem, an obscure, tiny dot of a village 6 miles from Jerusalem. No temples, no palaces, just a lot of dusty roads and a lot of rural. That was what Bethlehem was really good at, rural. But they could brag. They could brag. This is the place where Jacob buried Rachel. This is the place where Boaz proposed to Ruth. Bethlehem, of course, is the place, birthplace, of the most famous king of Israel, David. So they had all the bragging rights. And God revealed through the prophet Micah, I have chosen the place where my Messiah will be born, and it's little Bethlehem. It's right there. So the location of the Messiah's birth, it was a major theme in the scripture that was read for us this morning, where Magi show up unexpectedly in Jerusalem, and they're asking the where question. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? And they're thinking the where will be what part of this palace or what section of the city is the new king born in the capital city? And so they're wondering, and this rattles Herod. King? Competitor? So he convenes all of the religious leaders, and he asks the where question. Where is the Messiah going to be born? And they said, well, actually, that's not difficult at all. Not in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, that's where we expect the Messiah to be born. So God's selection of Bethlehem, it tells you something. It tells you something about how God works in your life and in mine. And there are four things that I'd like to highlight this morning. That Bethlehem tells me that I can expect God is active in my ordinary as well as my extraordinary. That he's involved in my routine, in my small and obscure aspects of life. He's involved in my Bethlehem, as well as being involved in the big, the high profile, the extraordinary events of my life. I mean, like the Magi, we tend to expect God to only do big things in big ways, obvious things in obvious places. But God's selection of little Bethlehem tells me I shouldn't always expect that. That's not always how God works. It doesn't have to be big to be God. Not in the beginning. Not in the beginning. temples, upper room, crosses, empty tombs. You'll find all of those in Jerusalem, yes. But you got to look into a more obscure location like Bethlehem to find mangers and angelic choirs and magi on bended knee. Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost. You'll find all of those in Jerusalem. They're Jerusalem-based. But Christmas, it shows how God so often begins a work in the little obscure places like Bethlehem. Bethlehem tells me that sometimes I will encounter God in the small, in the ordinary, in the routine of life. And not just in the obvious places like, you know, the church or in a Bible study. But God says, this tells you that I can encounter you when you're in the baby's room changing diapers. Or when you're out shoveling snow on the driveway. I can encounter you when you're unloading dishes from the dishwasher. Or you're out in the street walking the dog. Or you're at your desk studying for finals. I can encounter you in any of those places. It's not in some magnificent temple that God encounters Paul, but on a dusty road when he was doing his job. Peter's not in the synagogue when he encounters God. He's cleaning his nets by the lakeside. Matthew is not attending a Bible study. He's attending to business at a tax desk when Jesus comes to him. You can expect God at times to powerfully show up in just the everyday, the ordinary, the obscure, the unexpected, the small. Jesus would grow up saying, you want to know about the kingdom? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's so small you can barely see it. But when it's planted and full grown, it's one of the largest plants that you know of. That's a parable of how God works so often in the small. So Bethlehem tells me that I can expect God is active in my ordinary as well as extraordinary. Secondly, Bethlehem can tell me that God is at work. I can expect God not to be put off by the uninviting, by the smelly, and by the messy places. I mean, there was no spotless palace floor in Bethlehem. There were no maids in Bethlehem. There were no antibacterial dispensers in Bethlehem. We're talking the smell of a barnyard. That's what we're talking, with no air fresheners. Remember how God created us? He got his hands dirty. He formed us out of the dust of the earth. And so God, he dives into the dirty of our life, into the mess of a marriage that's not going well right now, or dive into the royal mess that I've made out of stupid decisions, or soiled by a deep depression that I'm in right now. That does not scare him at all. Mary's pregnancy was messy. Her future was messy. I guarantee you that the shepherds did not shower before they announced, as they came in off the fields, that there had been this cosmic event. I mean, God's not afraid of the messy. Activate your imagination and you just think what it smelled like, some of the people that Jesus healed. I mean, we're talking leprosy, skin diseases, things are oozing, paralytics are just in the same spot for hours. The majority of Jesus' disciples were fishermen whose reputation is not exactly smelling great. I mean, if I channeled my junior high boy, I could really take off here, okay? But my favorite scripture as a junior high boy is in the Gospel of John, where Jesus commands that the stone of Lazarus be rolled away, and in the King James, he is told by Mary and Martha, but Lord, behold, he stinketh. God does not require you to clean up your act before he draws near. And Bethlehem proves that. That's the second thing that Bethlehem tells me. Third thing that the location of Bethlehem tells me, that I can expect that God will use various ways to guide me. I mean, think about how God directed the Magi for a moment. The star will get them to Jerusalem, but it would take God's word to get them to Bethlehem. So they show up in Herod's palace in Jerusalem, assuming that the new king would be born in the capital city. But they are informed by biblical scholars that no, God has chosen differently. So that tells me that God can guide me through circumstances. He can, whether they're extraordinary or ordinary. Trust me, I know in my heart that God guided Dustin and Sydney to our place to stay. I mean, you're stuck, and you're stuck with the preacher and his wife for 2.5 days. They both gave evidence that they had attended church at some point in their lives, but it was probably some time ago. So they get to pray with us over meals. They get to see our interaction, you know, how there's a love and a respect. They get to see how we serve people. As we had it was such a blast driving that Polaris around, just hauling people out in snow drifts and banks. And there was some hiker in Pine Cove walking on that mess. And we said, hey, jump in. We'll take you to Idlewild. I mean, Dustin got to see all of that. God can work through circumstances. But God seems to reserve his special direction and guidance to come from his word. And so that's why we are constantly encouraging you to read the scripture. That's why the message, if it's not based on the scripture, then don't listen to it. Because this is how God guides us. But he guides us in various ways, through promptings of the Holy Spirit, through the word, through circumstances. This is what Bethlehem tells us. Finally, Bethlehem tells me that I can expect that God will surprise me with his timing and his ways. I mean, God is a master of the unexpected and of the surprise move. That he can give certain details about the where, but he didn't give any details about the when or the how. You know, how and when that the Messiah would come as a baby. The chief priests and the scribes, they directed the Magi to Bethlehem, but they didn't accompany them to Bethlehem because they fully expected the Messiah to be born there someday. They just didn't see it happening in their day. And so in a sense, the actual birth of the Messiah turned out to be an unexpected expectation. And that's the way God works. And so often that's how we respond to the way God works. An unexpected expectation. You hear from pulpits all the time that you can expect God to intervene in your life. But do you believe that that can happen today? Today? Do you have any expectation that it might be today? Even if the setting is ordinary and just like routine. It all boils down to, do you trust God? Do you believe his word? Are you going to act on what's been revealed to you? You're going to let your practice catch up with your profession. Even if the where and the how God leading you is unexpected, to let the wonder and the humility that the wise men demonstrated, let that guide you as well. So that there's a humility and that there's a wonder in following God. Beloved, there's an adventure that God longs to lead you on in a relationship with him in this life. And Herod and the chief priests and the scribes, they knew the where but were unwilling to go. Unwilling to act on what they knew. And so often, our obedience, it never seems to catch up with our knowledge. So we know a whole lot more than we do. This story is an opportunity for us to say, God, we trust you as you lead us and guide us, even in the unusual places and in the unusual ways. We're going to trust that this is an adventure you want to bring us on and just have us praising you in regard. And to that end, we can pray, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin. And enter in. Be born in us today. So, come to us and abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel, in the mess. in the ordinary, in the unexpected. Let's pray, shall we? God, you work in our world sometimes in ways that it sure doesn't look like it's you. And yet, you are the one who guides us in this adventure that we so often default to a different setting. And so, Lord, we really need the guidance of your Holy Spirit and the strength that your Spirit will provide us to follow after Jesus and to follow hard after the word that has been spoken. So this day, Lord, may our eyes be open to seeing you work, not just where we would expect you to work, but in relationships and in finances and in emotions that we would normally not imagine that you could touch. So help us, Lord Jesus. Descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin. Enter in. Be born in us today. In Jesus' name, amen.